Sermon study number R2R number 6. The following message, titled Garden and Heart of the Bride, was given Wednesday evening, October 26th, 1960.
All right, now let's go to the Word of the Lord for a while here tonight. We've been studying about the heart of the bride there as the big garden. Jesus wants your heart, beloved, and he wants you to give it to him completely, that he might plow and that he might harrow and that he might cultivate up and down and break up the fallow ground. There's all of us that's got fallow ground somewhere in our heart tonight that hasn't yet been broken up. There's indifferences that need to be broken up. There's hardness that needs to be broken up. Now, we've explained about our little triangles of truth there, and I told you that his flower garden is laid out in these same patterns. I don't care where you go, beloved, you find the same thing in the Word of the Lord. And these two little triangles, you're familiar with them, and especially this bottom one, because we find it in the outer court, the blood forming one side, the Holy Ghost fire forming the other side, and the water forming the other side. Those are the two pieces of furniture there. And from the brazen altar came up the blood and the fire, and across there at the laver. And we haven't studied that top triangle in the holy place, but we will one of these days if Jesus tarries. You know, it's so thrilling to go on with Jesus. You'll never run out of things to study about. That's what makes it so exciting. Oh, hallelujah, the things I learned today, they are just foundations for more truth tomorrow. And edible kushandaya. Oh, I just love to preach on those four little creatures over there of wisdom. They, where it says there are four things that be little upon the earth, but they're exceedingly wise. Remember those, huh? One up was the ant. It's wonderful to get the wisdom of the ant and to learn when is your season. Beloved, this is our spiritual season now. Get busy like a little ant. You know how they'll work? Have you ever sat and watched them? Why am I? When I was down at Ruby's house one time, and I set it down in the brooder house. If you know what a brooder house is, that's a chicken house. It's got chicken feed in it and all of that. And the little ants, they just love the brooder house. You know why? Because lots of food there. They're smart. They go where the food is. Praise God. And I'll tell you, they just labor untiringly. And it used to just thrill my soul, knowing what God said in his word and knowing that revelation there. Watching those little ants make just millions of trips over there to that food and run up that wall to their little hiding place. And there they went. And you know, recently this summer when I was out there in my yard, there in one corner there by the house in the back, there's a lot of limestone there. There's just a bunch of ivy growing over there. There's not much there, just stone and ivy. And I had occasion to pick up and move a big stone. And so I found I had run into an ant's nest. And there they had all kinds of food. You never saw so many little balls of food in all of your life. Listen to me. And immediately when I moved that rock, do you think they were concerned about their lives? No. What were they concerned about? Their food that they had stored up. Oh, what did God, we get as wise as the ants, beloved. And when the devil comes around, we're more scared of our lives than we are the spiritual food and protecting the spiritual food that God has hid inside. The wisdom of an ant, that's wonderful. And the wisdom of a coney, that's a little hare. He hides back in the rock. He's got wisdom to hide when the enemy comes, when the storm comes. Beloved, if you and I had sense enough to go hide in Jesus Christ, we'd save ourselves many a heartache and many a fall and many a wound. Amen. Praise God. What's the other one? Locust, that's it, honey, the locust. And the wisdom of the locust is the war. They don't have any chief or any captain, but they rise up. My, beloved, when they settle down, they can just strip. They can just devastate overnight a country or a land. And the fourth one, and that's what I'm talking about tonight, is the wisdom of the spider. Do you know that God put little liquid glands in her little belly? Oh, which is a picture, a type of the Holy Ghost. And when those liquid glands flow forth, she takes a hold of two little fingers that's on the back end of her little body. and she starts weaving back and forth. My. And as she weaves, she travels. Praise God. And that's the way it is with you and me. If we'll let the good Holy Ghost come forth and flow out, beloved, and we and take a hold of the Word of God, it'll weave us a spiritual ladder. Hallelujah. That's how you go on for God. Blessed be His name. Isn't He wonderful? Now, we were in the fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon, and so I had to stop and show you about the garden, how it was laid out, and why there's so much time spent here in the sixth chapter of the Song of Solomon about the garden. Remember when the daughters of Jerusalem had heard her beautiful description of the bridegroom? They said, "Oh my, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?" Beloved, listen, when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, and when you go on with him, listen, you're going to be able to describe him in such a way that you'll make somebody else hungry to know him. And so we learned. We started going through and finding the things that was in her heart. And last time we studied about the vine. And there was a little stature of truth about the vine or the blood side. Isn't that precious? And then now tonight we want to study the second thing that we find in her, in the garden of her heart. And that is the lilies. You know, this is just real precious to me because the natural type, the spiritual. And if you take a person that's going to plant a flower garden, they have everything in order, don't they? They have their petunia beds, and they have their roses. Yes, I got all my roses in one place there. And you've got your lilies. Everything is set in order if you're a good gardener. That's right. And so the Lord is a wonderful husbandman. He's a wonderful gardener. And unless you just get in your heart, He'll plant it. There'll be the vine, praise God, the choice vine, all that will yield the precious wine that will feed and sustain. And then there will be the lilies. And so there's a stature about the lilies. And let's look at them. Let's go to the first chapter and verse 13 real quick, and we'll see about the lilies that he has planted in her heart. Turn 2:16. That's what I want. 2:16. I'm talking about the lilies now. About to get off on myrrh. She said, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." Now I want you to notice this. She said, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." And that's about the stage that most of us are in tonight. We want to claim all he's got for us before we give him our set. And you'll find that when Jesus prayed in his great high priestly prayer in the 17th chapter of John, he said, "All mine," talking to the Father, "is thine." Now listen to me. And then he said, "All thine is mine." You get the picture? But the bride here, she's not saying it like Jesus said it. Jesus said, "All mine is thine, Father." Before he would claim what the Father had, beloved, he gave all to the Father. Then he claims all that the Father had. All mine is thine, and all thine is mine. There's the order. But here the bride hadn't quite grown up enough at here, and we find her saying, listen, she said, "My beloved is mine." Yes, he's mine, and I'm his. I want to get to the place that, beloved, before I claim what he has for me, I want to give myself completely unto him and be able to say like Jesus said unto the Father, "All mine is thine." Yes. Amen. And so she says, "He feedeth among the lilies." And so, beloved, we find that he has lilies planted in his garden because the lilies are his feeding place. He loves to walk down, up and down the lilies of your heart. And what do the lilies represent? The lilies represent trust, the purity of trust. How many lilies has God planted in your heart, huh? How many lilies has God planted in your heart? I find in every situation that I come across that I have a need of more lilies being planted in the heart, more purity of trust. I cry for that constantly. It doesn't matter what the situation, it goes back that I need some more lilies to trust God. Amen. We need some more lilies to trust God for the little blue car for Mexico. We need some more lilies to trust God for the land. We need some more lilies to trust for material things. I need some more lilies to trust for spiritual things that God is wanting to do for me. Because, beloved, listen to me tonight. You don't get anything except through the channel of faith. That's the only way that God can pass anything to you in the spiritual. Now then, so we find that it is a feeding place. Let's look real quick in the fifth chapter and verse 13. We find something else there about the lilies. We find that even the lilies will also produce a myrrh or produce humility. And it says here in verse 13 when she was describing the bridegroom, she said his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. And so we find, beloved, that he plants the lilies in the garden of your heart, not only for a feeding place, not only does he like to walk up and down and commune. No wonder, beloved, that he said to the Laodicean church, he was on the outside of his own church knocking and trying to get in, trying to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he said, if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Oh my, beloved, we'll just hear his voice. He'll plant the lilies. He'll provide a place to where he can come in and sup and commune with us. Amen. And so then we find here that they produce myrrh in chapter 5 there and verse 13. And so, beloved, the lilies will produce a humility. There's a humility that's produced in your heart when you begin to trust God. Did you know that?
Amen.
There's a humility that is produced in your heart when you begin to trust God. And sometimes, beloved, God has to sow a few lilies of myrrh, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh of humility into your heart before you can trust God for other things. Did you know that? I've always found when I humble myself and take the lowest place that then I am able to believe God. You take the lowest place, be willing to be nothing, be willing to be a failure, be willing just to, beloved, that's how God wants you to live. Oh, I wish I could cause ministers to see that secret. It would take out all that anxiety and that strife. Beloved, if they would just take the low place and be willing to have in their congregation the ones that the Holy Ghost sends in, then it would take out all that jealousy and all that strife and all that anxiety. If they would just take the low place, beloved, and have some of the sweet-smelling lilies that are dropping with the myrrh of his humility, planted in the garden of their hearts. Beloved, it would take away their anxiety for money. It would take away that greed and that covetousness, because, beloved, that's promoted by pride.
Amen.
When you're willing to sit down and be nothing, be the least of all of God's people, live, beloved, with your work upon the altar. Yes, God, you have me given me charge up until now. If you want to raise it up, somebody else and give it to them, give it to them, Lord. Beloved, in other words, living in constant surrender to God's will, that He can turn you or mold you or take you in any direction, up or down. And it doesn't make any difference to you because you're in love with the will of God.
Yes.
In the sixth chapter and verse 2, we find the third thing about the lilies. Beloved, he plants lilies for his pleasure. I want you to notice that. He plants the lilies for his pleasure. God wants your heart full of lilies, of trust, and of humility. And he plants things in your heart. Sometimes God gives you things, beloved, not for your exaltation, not for your glory, but for his pleasure. A lot of times, beloved, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, not because you've deserved it, not because you've prayed and been worthy, not because you've been faithful, but God will let the Holy Ghost come upon you, beloved, even when you haven't been worthy, because, beloved, He's wanting praise and worship out of your heart.
Amen.
He puts it upon you for His pleasure.
Amen.
Oh, I'll tell you, and when you understand this, this helps you to walk more humble before God, so that when He does move upon you, you don't get all puffed up. You realize that many things that He does them for His pleasure, not because that you're anything, because we're not any of us anything, beloved. We're nothing. We're less than nothing. Jesus is the only one that's worthy of exaltation. He's the only one that's worthy of praise and honor. And so notice it here in verse 2 in chapter 6, when she said, "My beloved is gone down into his garden." Now that's the heart. And then she said, "to the beds of spices, to feed in the garden." Notice, within the garden of your heart are many gardens. And that's real precious. How would you know this thing if the Holy Ghost didn't teach you? Would you mind telling me, huh? How would you know it? You just wouldn't know it, that's all. I never saw it in a commentary. People say all manner of evil against me. They tell all kinds of lies, and they always have, beloved. Even before I became a Christian, from the time I was a little child up, the devil would lie on me, and I could feel that tremendous hatred from Satan. But I didn't understand it. No wonder I was ready to commit suicide when I was 19 years old, because I couldn't stand this persecution. Beloved, the devil knows who God's got his hand on before you ever get saved. The devil's tried to kill me all my life. Throw me off of a horse. Try to burn me up. I caught on fire one time. It was only a miracle I was spared. Many times the devil has tried to kill me before I was a Christian and since I've been a Christian also. Because, beloved, he hates the Word. If there's anything the devil hates, it's the Word of God. Because, beloved, the Word of God, listen to me, will produce growth. The Word of God will produce unity. The Word of God will produce love and joy and peace in your soul. Amen. And so it says here, and notice this, and she said, to feed in the gardens. Notice this. He goes down into these gardens. The beloved Jesus wants to come and sup in the garden of your heart and pass from one garden to another and sup. Oh, beloved, listen, the Word says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. You can't sit down and start meditating upon the vine of His blood. You can't start meditating upon His blood without Him revealing something unto you. Like He revealed unto me today, one of the most precious things I've ever got in all my life. I just can't get over it. I can't hardly keep from preaching it tonight because it's so full up, and I just had to throw up my hands, and the Holy Ghost flowed out, and the tears flowed down and down and down as I rejoiced and praised God. I was meditating on the vine. You start meditating upon His humility, and pretty soon you'll find Jesus there supping with you. Praise God. Feeding with you. Praise God. It's wonderful to go on with Him, beloved. The Lord enjoys a beauty. You know, and His idea of beauty is a lot different than man's idea of beauty. You believe that, huh? Sometimes we look at people dressed up on the on the outside in the natural, and we say that's beauty. That doesn't mean that that's beauty before God at all. The Word says there are things that are highly esteemed of man that are an abomination in the sight of God. But beloved, Jesus is looking for the heart, to look for the vine and for the beautiful lilies of trust and of humility and for His pleasure. And then over in chapter 7 in verse 2 there, we find the lilies are for a girdle. And that ministry of girding is a real precious. You remember that Jesus didn't even minister to wash the disciples' feet until He had girded Himself with a towel. And beloved, before even an ordinary priest could minister over here in this tabernacle, he must have on a linen girdle. And before that the high priest could minister, he must have on the curious girdle. And so there's no such thing as ministry apart from the girdle. I want you to notice this. And it's not until the 7th chapter in the Song of Solomon that we find the bride girded and ready for ministry. Look at all of the growth that has transpired and taken place in all of the other 6 chapters. And it's not until the 2nd verse of the 7th chapter that we find her girded with lilies. And notice it here. And he says here, thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies, or girded about with lilies. And so, beloved, the girdle meant that the person was ready to minister. When the girdle was put on, it was the symbol of being ready to minister. And it also was the symbol that everything inside was brought under subjection to the girdle. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Beloved, our spiritual heart is in the loins section of the body. Because Jesus said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. And anyone who intercedes or travails or worships in the Holy Ghost, you will realize that the Holy Ghost comes from this part of your body. It's like this is the fountainhead, and out comes the waters, the rivers of living water. And so, how precious when we can go on with God. And beloved, we can let Him crucify our pride. And not only that, but to bring it under subjection to the girdle of the lilies. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, if all of God's people had on the girdle of the lily tonight, beloved, there wouldn't be the fuss, there wouldn't be the strife, there wouldn't be the enmity, there wouldn't be the backbiting. Because the lawns would be girded with sweet-smelling lilies. You see what I mean? Lilies of faith, and lilies of humility, and so forth. Isn't that precious, huh? Now, this is how His lily garden is laid out in the form of a cross on this side of the triangle. His vine is laid out in the form of a cross. In the next order, over in the fourth chapter, beloved, in verse 11, and then on down also in chapter 5 and verse 1, we find then the next thing up here at the top that He has in His garden, and that is His honeycomb, or rather you can just say, you could say beehives. The Lord's got some beehives. He wants to put some little bees down in the garden of your heart. That's those little desires, those little bees of desire. Beloved, have you ever noticed a little bee? It's never still. I don't reckon. I've never seen one still. If it lights, it doesn't tear very long. But that's right. They work themselves to death. That's why that they have to keep on reproducing real fast, because they die over just a few weeks of time. You know why? They work themselves to death. And beloved, oh, isn't that precious? God wants the little honeybees of desire formed in your heart, so that, oh, the Word of God, you'll never be still. You'll be just like a honeybee, a flitting. And I don't know where those little honeybees come from, but you let something sweet come around, and they'll know about it. You know, I fixed some apples. Some friends of ours gave us a lot of apples. We managed to get up some apples and get them dried. And I want to keep them so when the missionaries come up, I can send some to Mexico and give them something to enjoy. Their diet is so simple and so plain in comparison to what we enjoy up here, that was just on my heart to do that for them. So we worked, and we have two nice big bags of dried apples. But you know something? It was a race between the honeybees and the yellow jackets. Every time I got out on my roof up there, over the porch, I had a wonderful place to dry them, and I'd get out there and spread them. I don't know where they come from. I never saw them until I put those apples there, but there was nectar there. There was sweetness there, and they could smell it a mile off. And so I'd have to get Beverly out there sometimes, and she'd be waving the towel and beating them off of me while I got out there and got them spread, you know, so they wouldn't sting me. And it was a real warfare getting the apples out there. Why? Because, beloved, it's just the nature of that little honeybee. His desire is so tremendous. He wasn't thinking about his life. All he was thinking about was getting there and getting that sweetness out of that apple. God wants the honeybees of desire down in your garden, beloved, so that you'll have a desire for the sweet nectar of the Word of God. How many of you really feel like you have a nice beehive in your spiritual garden? That you're just years like a honeybee. You can't stay out of it. Just every time you get a chance, you're just there looking for the nectar. Praise God. Beloved, it's nectar when it's first revealed. When you begin to swallow it and it begins to get digested, then it becomes honey. You know what honey is? It's digested nectar. That little honeybee swallows that nectar, and he digests it, and then he regurgitates it, if you please, and he stores it in the honeycomb so that because he's taken in. Beloved, listen, that's exactly where it is. Oh, my. You know what happened today? God reached up on the shelf of my heart, and he pulled out some of the honey. You see what I mean? That he given from the Word and begin to fit it with what he gave today. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful. You can't digest it. You can't eat it all at one time. Yes, you can digest it and eat it and taste it, but you can't absorb it all at one time. And so God's got honeycombs, praise God, just to store the Word in your heart. Oh, my, isn't that precious? There's the wisdom of the Lord. Ain't it, beloved? Store it up in your heart so that when the season is right, he can bring it forth and feed you. I'll tell you, it's wonderful going on for God.
Amen.
Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. It's no mystery to me that there are few really in this way, beloved. There are really few in this way. Really few. Really few. You talk to the average Christian, what does he do with his time? How much time does he spend in the Word of prayer? There's a price to pay for just a little honeybee of desire formed in your heart. You can't fill your time away in the cares of this life and be storing honey at the same time. Oh yes, let's read down in verse chapter 5. Or I didn't even read verse 11, did we? He says here, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. She was just full up of this honey and running over until it was running out of her mouth. Praise God. And on down in chapter 5 and verse 1, look at it. He said, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. Isn't that precious, beloved? And what does honey speak of? Honey speaks of sweetness. And there again, the little beehives, as it were, through the garden of our hearts, Jesus will feed there. Oh, you can always be sure, beloved. It's Him that you're longing for. Maybe you're looking for something tonight. Maybe you've never been satisfied. It's Jesus that you're looking for. And if you just let Him store up this honey of the Word, He'll be there to feast with you. Hallelujah. He'll come and feast upon the sweetness of His Word. Praise God.
This is the end of sermon study number R2R number 6.